Welcome to today's episode of Journey to There, the invigorating podcast that's exploring the intersection between personal and business growth. And now your hosts, Tracy DeForge and Russ Reba.
So according to Merriam-Webster, you know, the dictionary folks, if you are unable to understand or think clearly, or you are not clearly organized, oh, wife of mine, if you're listening right now, you are confused. And if you can see my air quotes there, confused. So if Noah Webster was not clearly organized when he published his first dictionary and was confused, there goes the air quotes again, does that mean he should be listening to today's episode of the Journey to Their radio show?
Oh my God, now I'm confused. Are you kidding me?
Then I've reached my goal. Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba. We're going to reset your confusion as to what the heck we're talking about right now. And be sure to log on to journeytothere.com. Get access to past episodes, insight on the Journey to Their story. And be absolutely sure to click on the Join Us link when you get to the website. By the way, if Noah Webster was listening to the show right now, he'd be 258 years old.
And he would be not confused now, because that was a great set of directions you just gave everybody.
All right, so let's clear everybody's confusion as to what's happening on today's show.
Okay, well, with that introduction, I'm not even sure how to follow up with that. But what I wanted to talk about today is a phrase that I use very commonly. I can't necessarily say that I've copyrighted it or that it's trademarked, because I'm pretty sure that it was told to me a long time ago. And the phrase is, the confused mind says no.
Okay, I like it.
You like it? Do you get it? Do I need to explain it anymore?
If you didn't have an opportunity to explain it, we'd be wrapping up the show right now.
And, well, that's a good point.
And it would be a quick one.
And I don't think that you're going to find that definition in the Webster's Dictionary. However, it applies in a lot of areas of life.
And business.
In fact, for me, I learned the phrase itself in business first, and then connected the dots on how it was really impacting me personally. And what I mean by that is I was very new, starting out in the broadcast management career. And part of my job, as you might remember, because Russ and I worked together from the first day I walked into the radio station.
A long time ago.
Long, wonderful, long memories ago. However, I was somewhat nervous because I initially had started out as an account executive, and luckily for me, I got accelerated pretty quickly into
You know what we used to call account executives?
Oh, I'm so scared. What?
Sales weasel. You remember that, don't you?
Oh, yes, but I hated that term because we were not weasels.
You were supposed to hate that term because you have to understand, Tracy was on the sales end of things, and I was on the creative programming end of things, and it's like
we couldn't
get anything done quick enough. But look at us now, together, happy.
Yes, happy. And you do get things done very quickly, by the way.
That's because I'm not confused anymore.
Okay, so I think this is a passive-aggressive way for Russ to say, I don't like your sales manager stories, but tough, you gotta hear it. So anyway, the first time I was exposed to the phrase, the confused mind says no, is as a result of me being very new into sales management and creating all of these choices. Like, I was on a package making machine track. Like, I could give you you can sell the weather, you can sell the pet sponsorship for the Humane Society, you can sell the time in between the 10 and the 11. I mean, you could sell anything. And
you did.
We did. But what I encountered were a couple of things. One is, internally, I'd confused the salespeople tremendously because they had all of these different options and they weren't necessarily sure what to present to their clients. And then on the flip side of that, when they would take these multiple choices out to the clients would just basically like glaze over, and then they would basically say no. And I didn't really get that at first. And then I had the luxury of being told by our wonderful owners at the time that had a huge sales background. And they basically said, you know what? The confused mind says no. If you give people too many choices, you're not going to sell anything.
Right.
And it is so true. And it has served me well like 20 on years from then, because it has been such a phrase that has applied in so many situations in my consulting practice.
Let me, I'm just going to throw this part of it in, because the handful of things that I'm involved in, one of them is, let's say, providing voiceover talent for clients who are, choosing a voice for a particular production. And what I have learned over the years is competitors of mine will have a whole menu of options of male voice talent, female voice talent. And I have found, even though we have access to literally hundreds of voice talent, we only put 5 to 7 voice talent choices on the website, because we have learned that when you put too many on there, they can't make a decision. When you put fewer on there, they make the decision quickly.
And very concisely. And you're reading my mind, because when I did, when I actually very first started my consulting practice, I had a lot of choices. In fact, I was just talking about this the other day with our producer, Amber Lovett. She also used to work for me in the consulting business. And we were talking about the fact that when I very first started, and she very first was opening her office, that we had all these options. So, you know, you don't actually learn the lesson necessarily one time. It has to repeat itself until you really learn
right.
it. We had all these options, like, well, if you meet with us in person, it costs this much. But if you want us to do work and it's not in person, it costs this much. And then if you want a group, it costs this much. And it was just, I mean, it was
so
confusing.
Theoretically, we have two examples here. We've got the voice talent I was telling you about, the services that you offer, whether it's voice services or even when you go to a restaurant and you just want a hamburger and you're looking at a list on the menu of 18 different ways to cook meat, it takes a long time to decide what you're going to order.
Okay, I know we've worked together for a really long time, but your ability to read my mind today is freaking me out.
Were you going to talk about menu items?
Well, in a back sort of way, what I was going to say, thank you for the amazing lead-in, is that since I have obviously experienced these experiences myself and now adapted them into part of my consulting, I tell people to really relate to this by saying, it is the food court philosophy. That's what I call it, is the food court philosophy.
That's
so
a good
you're
point.
Starving, you're in the mall, if people still go to malls anymore, but you're in the mall and you're like in the food court and you're like looking at all these choices and you're just overwhelmed and hungry, but it's too much. So you just walk off and like get some popcorn or something.
Or you walk around the food court just once and you get 18 different samples of chicken teriyaki.
Now that's a weasel for you right there. Who's calling me the weasel? Well, I think that the whole premise of it, though, is it happens in our lives just essentially daily if you really start paying attention to it. My husband and I received Cheesecake Factory of gift certificates. Gosh, sorry, I can't get it out. I was starting to think about that cheesecake and I stopped talking.
Now you're reading my mind. That's one of my favorite restaurants of all time.
However, have you ever noticed that their menu is about the size
it's
of
a book? It is a book.
It has a spiral bounding.
Yes, it is a book.
And they have everything from lettuce wraps and Asian to pizza and cheeseburgers. I mean, it's crazy. And just the amount of flavors of cheesecake they have alone will get you all confused.
Right.
But I used to notice, I don't think they do this anymore. The last time I was there, they didn't do this anymore. But they had enough pages in their menu when they first opened that they sold advertising in their menu.
Yeah, every 2-3 pages, there was a full page ad. And I want to throw this in. Am I right in saying that when you do go to Cheesecake Factory, you pretty much know what you're going to get? It's going to be one of your 4 go-to menu items that you get when you go there. Am I correct?
Well, I think that this is the reason why my husband likes to take me there, because normally in a restaurant situation, you can only imagine. I'm like, I would like this with this on the side and this on top. And can you leave off this and add this? And the waitress's eyes glaze over. And my husband is completely embarrassed. But at the Cheesecake Factory, I'm so overwhelmed by that menu. I go, can I just have a salad, please? Can't deal with it.
Is it safe to say that you have not ordered maybe 75% of the items available?
A Oh, clearly. And the fact of the matter now is, since we've gone together now more than once, I just get what he gets because what he got was really good the first time and my salad not so much. So I just say, what he's having. And that never happens because I'm super picky.
I can't wait to see the comments, especially from the folks from Cheesecake Factory.
I know. Well, we just must tell you, if you're listening, that we do love your restaurant. We're just trying to bring it into our point of confusion.
Yeah.
And plus, I can't imagine the amount of prep that goes in that kitchen. I mean, I've been involved in several restaurants in my career, and I understand literally what it means to prep for a menu. And that one, they must do it like every day, 24 hours a day.
So how do we eliminate the confusion in our personal lives and in business?
Well, great question. And I think before you can eliminate it, you really have to get to the bottom of it.
Recognize it.
We've mentioned this several different times in our various episodes about real change doesn't occur until you're aware of what needs to be changed. I think that in personal references, they're not completely different than the business references that we just discussed, but they have a tendency to hit the heart a little deeper. And what I mean by that is that not making a decision in your personal life is still making a decision. And if you're sitting into a situation where you've either stayed too long in a job, you've been in a relationship that you knew was not quite right from the beginning, and it's 5 years later, and you're still in it, don't judge me, then... that was my previous life, just so everybody knows. That being said, you know, when it happens and you're in it and you're stuck and you can't get out of it, that's when you need to start asking yourself some questions. Then there's also this character trait issue, which is I can only speak for myself, which I always try to do, is that I'm an extreme loyalist. I mean, it is a wonderful character trait, and it is also that whole phrase, like it's a blessing and a curse. I am a huge loyalist.
But you got to try new things.
You got to try new things, and you kind of have to try new people if you're being loyal to somebody who's not returning the favor.
Right.
And there's just that, like, for me, I've gotten into these situations where I've just been this, like, diehard loyalist and to my profession, to my career situation, to a relationship that wasn't necessarily working. I mean, even friendships to a degree, we grow, we change. And it's been very hard for me to identify when that change needed to happen, or even more so, make the change when it needed to happen.
It's interesting you say that, because for many years of my life, I've always been a brand loyalist. I'm not going to mention any brands, but there would be, for instance, certain brands of electronics that I would only buy that brand. And where that bites you is when you continue to do that and the company gets bigger and bigger and tries to find better and cheaper ways to do things,
right.
That brand that in your mind is such a great brand all of a sudden stops working the way you're used to it working. So there's times in your life, personal and business, that you need to try new things. You need to go a different way.
Well, you just reminded me of one of my best friends that has one of our funniest stories, although it really wasn't that funny for me at the time. So my best friend and I, we've been best friends, speaking of loyalty, we've been best friends since we were 15 and 16. And so I'm not going to do the ages today, but trust me to say that is a really long time.
It was a little while ago.
And so I'm a year older than her. So I went to college first. And when we left high school, we didn't really see each other all the time because I was in college and she wasn't. So I was home for a break and she was furious because she had used this anti-aging cream made by this household name brand. And she had used this anti-aging cream on her eyes, and her eyes had gotten all red and they had all swollen. And my first thought was, you're 18? Like, why are you using that cream? And then my second thought is, I'm never going to use that brand again. They did that to your eyes. And I was like, we're boycotting that brand. And I was like on my soapbox. And so fast forward, I go back to school, whatever. Time goes by. I would come back. We're, you know, back in town hanging out again. And I see that she has this brand of lipstick that is
the same brand that you were supposed to boycott.
Oh, yes, the same very one. And I'm like, wait a minute, I haven't been using that product for a year because of, and of course I made it about her. I was like, because of you, I have been standing with my boycott. Why are you using it? She was like, oh, I'm so over that. Like, I forgot. And my friends, that soapbox has been very portable throughout the years, and I have stood on it one too many times.
Well, the one thing I will tell you in business, as far as being brand loyal and being loyal to one specific way of doing something, is people evolve. The economy evolves. Consumers evolve. If your business does not evolve with the evolution, you will get left behind in the dust.
Are you kidding me? I'm so loyal to fax machines. Are you telling me that I'm not going to really be able to use them that much longer?
Oh, gosh. I feel like I'm stuck in an episode of the Flintstones.
Okay, well, speaking of not making a decision is, in fact, making a decision, I will decide that at this point in time, I should scan an email as opposed to fax.
And
for those
of our younger listeners, can you explain what a fax machine is?
Oh, I'll go even older than that. How about old school, like, commercials on carts instead of having them produced digitally? And you missed all the fun.
These were little mechanisms that looked like an 8-track tape, which many folks don't know what an 8-track is, nor a cassette.
That scares me so badly, because I'm finding that I have all these what I consider to be fantastic metaphors, and I'm starting to find that my clients have no idea what I mean.
You need to evolve with your audience.
The other day, I represent an artist in my business, and she's so incredibly talented, and she always introduces me as the business side of the art business for her, and I always tout, I'm her Jerry Maguire, which used to be so funny, not so much, because people are like, who's Jerry?
I'll never forget when my son asked me, why do you make that motion with your hand when you want somebody to roll down their window? And I said, you know the motion you make. Where and I said, first of all, think about what you're saying. We still say roll down the window. There's nothing really rolling, except if you want to get technical, the cable inside. But I said, because there was a time where we did not have buttons to put the windows down, and that was what you would do. You would take this crank and roll it down, and so, you know.
I mean, he had to be so confused. Speaking of confused, he was like, no!
What is that motion you're doing, Daddy?
Well, see, this is where there are 100 million benefits of having kids, but this is where you trump me, because I don't have a little human saying, Mom, there aren't 8-tracks anymore. What are you talking about?
Okay, well, then the next time you pull up to somebody and you give them that roll down motion and you see the kid in the car seat in the back giving you a very confused look, there you go.
Well, I'm almost scared they might be giving me another gesture as well. These kids these days, you never know. So anyway, wow. Okay. So I really do want to continue on our topic, but that was pretty funny.
Yeah, let's not confuse our listeners.
Okay. So one of the things that I find to be such a huge aha moment when I was first, it was first told to me, and it wasn't told to me in a very nice way, actually, but it has stuck with me. And that is that if you are choosing to stay, then you are not choosing to leave. And if you are staying to take care of someone else, you are not taking care of yourself. Now, the simplified version of that is you can actually steal someone else's time.
Right.
And I have been in these situations. And I'm not going to say that was necessarily like a romantic situation, although for me, that was the most common example of this. But I've been in examples where I really was practically, I guess, a martyr, if you will, because I'm thinking, you know, I'm in this for the long run. I'm, you know, if you know, I'm hanging in there. If, you know, if he had cancer, I wouldn't leave. I mean, like crazy stuff that went through my mind as to reasons that I talked myself into staying. And it was, of course, it was all about me. But what I didn't understand is I thought I was doing everything for them. And at the end of the day, I wasn't doing anything for either of us.
You're hurting everybody.
Everybody, because, you know, you only get the same 24 hours in a day. And if you steal someone else's, you're wasting yours. And I just really didn't understand all that. I mean, I hope for everybody else that's listening other than me that you already knew this already, and you're going, God, duh. But in case you don't feel that way, I just think it's something really important to talk about, because I have had, me personally, I've had some really long-term consequences of not making decisions, and I was confused. So the no for me was to just not move forward. And
that was
suffered.
Your decision.
And that was my decision. And for that, ultimately, was a compromise. And I couldn't see it so clearly at the time, but I was compromising. I was compromising, let's say, just in a professional situation or in a geographic situation, because I have been known a couple of times in my life to live in a certain city for extended period of times when the season for that city was over. Like, the opportunities were done there. And I really could have accelerated the growth of my business if I had relocated to a larger market, a bigger city, a larger metropolitan area. But out of fear and comfort, I compromised what could have been a more accelerated career path and personal path by staying in this whole stuck little circle of comfort.
So in essence, that was a prime example of you making a decision to not make a decision.
Right. However, it was the not making the decision was compromising when I thought I was helping myself
right.
and others.
Right.
So I struggle with this not as much today, which I'm very grateful for. Now I have awareness around it. So if I go into a situation, even if it's like meeting a new person, and the Southern way is just to be extremely nice, but then come back behind it and say, bless their heart, which I don't really know if that's so nice. But like in a situation like that, like sometimes everybody just doesn't like everybody, right? I mean, I want everybody to like me and I want to like everybody, but the rainbow and the unicorn of that falls off because it doesn't happen, right?
Right.
But in the past or in other situations, I may have just kind of hung into that being nice to that person for as long as I could take it. And then basically I would do another reference to my best friend and I. We call it the fade, where we don't necessarily quote unquote break up with them, but we just kind of give them the fade so they think we're not interested anymore. Now, for everyone listening, you do realize that we were best friends in high school. So if this sounds very high school, it was, but it happens. I mean, and Russ, I don't know how you feel about friendships. I know ours has been, a 20 plus year one. So I know you're as loyal as me. But I think women have a lot more difficult time breaking up with girlfriends than they ever do boyfriends. And I don't know if you've experienced that with your wife, and if she had a friend that you didn't think was so good for her, but she just couldn't, like, oh, honey, you don't understand. She's actually really nice. And
I think maybe within the last decade, she's learned how to gauge how those relationships, she's learned from her mistakes. But yeah, that part of it, I can't relate. I have witnessed the little cat fights and just the unnecessary aspects of the relationship. So,
all that's kind of yucky stuff anyway.
Yeah, the guys will just be like, hey, are we good? Yeah, we're good. We're good.
I love that. Dudes are like, whatever, move on.
That's all good.
And I try to be that way, actually, which is actually more of a masculine trait than people may expect. But in life, I think it's because of everything that we've talked about today sort of brings me to the statement is that, again, we only have so much time and we want to spend it with the people that make us feel confident and happy and loved and are fun, and not the people that are like boat anchors. And hopefully, you and I aren't boat anchors for other people, but if they were to feel that way, I would actually appreciate if they would just not continue to hang out with me, because both of us would be miserable at
exactly.
that point.
Hurts everybody.
But it is all about perspective, and it is all about, when I was saying before about this compromising situation, when you have that ability to realize it's we've talked a lot on other episodes, I'll bring it up again here today, that you have that kind of gut feeling, sort of that inside voice, and it's telling you that wherever you are, geographically, professionally, personally, I mean, even in a store, in an airport, like wherever, like you have that feeling like this is not good for me, then that's when you really have to stop in that moment and say, okay, what's really going on with me? And most likely it's not the issue that you're experiencing right in that moment, but it's just like a strong feeling of either that you need to make a change, or the change that you're about to make is scary for you and in that moment, if you can shift your perspective and say to yourself, I am committed to making the right decision, and there is no wrong decision. There's, as we've said before, there's a right and a left. There's not a right and the wrong. Right. But if you can commit in that moment to be like, I want to make what is the right decision and what is the best decision for me, which feels, for me, when I started doing that, felt very selfish. But you have to take care of yourself first.
Yeah, and this goes back to almost like a merging of topics from all of our episodes. And it's not like we're beating a dead horse, but you're going to hear it over and over. So many of our listeners are the type of people who are in a situation where they're working a job and they've always dreamed of, you know, growing their own business. And, you know, they may have listened, I think, I don't know how many, we're like 6 or 7 episodes in right now. They may have been listening from the first episode and saying, yes, I need to do something. Yes, I need to do something. And I wouldn't be surprised as to how many people have started to make the move. But then there's the people who are just sitting there and they're not making that decision. And that is a decision to not make a decision, which has been your point.
Well, and totally, because, you know, even when I learned it for the first time, you know, practically back in the 80s, then it was a repetitive cycle that happened at different points in my life. And so I always feel like you get hit with the same lesson that you need to learn. It's just that every time the lesson gets a little bit more significant until you actually learn it, and then hopefully it dissipates. And that is one of the things, like to what you were saying, is someone may have heard it in the first episode and it really struck them, but then life happens and you move on, and then you're thinking, yeah, I need to do something about that. And then hopefully, like, the whole idea of hearing it again says, yeah, you know, I really do need to do something about that. And with the whole decision-making process, I think that if you are feeling overwhelmed and you're in a situation that you're getting very confused with where you should go next in business or in life, then I have some questions that I use for myself that might be helpful. What do you think, Rusty? Should I put them out there?
Don't leave me hanging. Don't leave them hanging.
I'm not even sure why I asked you permission, because you know I was going to do it anyway.
Because I've got my fingers on the controls right now, and I think you're starting to get a feel for when we're running out of time on the show.
Yeah, I know. I saw the hand waving. You wave at me not to roll the window down. You roll at me to shush my mouth.
And I'll use a radio term here. Let's segue into Tracy's takeaway.
Oh, Tracy's takeaway. So anyway, okay, so my takeaways I am providing, because this is what worked for me and continues to work for me as I get presented with these crossroads at times. And it's a list of 3 questions, and it provides you the opportunity to basically take responsibility and gain clarity if any of those triggers that we've been talking about go off. Like, if you're having that feeling, red flags, pink flags, they're not quite red yet, but they're pink, and they're, you know something's not quite right and you might need to make a change or do something differently. The triggers go off, but maybe you just kind of sit in that for a moment, for a day, right, for a year, for a decade.
A lifetime.
Let's hope not that. So what has been helpful for me is I will ask myself, does this feel right to you in my head, my heart, and my gut? Now, I'm going to say that over again, because we're got to be visual for a second since we're audio right now. So does it feel right in your head, in your heart, and in your gut? That's like a vertical line, 1, 2, 3. And if only two of the three of those match, then that is not the correct answer. So if I could even just leave one takeaway and not give you the other two, but I'm still gonna, that would be the one I would say, is like, pay attention if when making a decision or staying in a stuck place, is your head, your heart, and your gut matching? Because if they're not in line with each other, then something's not right.
So this is like beyond a reasonable doubt.
It's your own reasonable doubt, though, right?
Right,
because
exactly.
Because a lot of the confusion is created by doubt. And in, like I was saying before, in my situation, I thought a lot of it was reasonable. So when I was given this tip to, so what does your heart, your head, and your gut say? I was so, pardon the pun, confused because I was like, I really actually have no idea. And then when I gave myself some time to really process that, and in my life since then, I know what it feels like when they all match up, and I know what it feels like when one or two are out of skew. So right. Try that. And then
question number two,
if you're feeling trapped physically, mentally, or emotionally, and so asking yourself, I feel trapped. Do I feel trapped physically, like geographically or in your own home? Do you feel mentally trapped or emotionally stuck? Then if the answer to any of those questions is yes, then you move on to the third question.
And so you need to ask yourself these questions in a particular order.
Well, no, not necessarily, because this process that I'm laying out, if you will, is you kind of get that feeling, okay, my head, my heart, and my gut aren't lining up on this.
Right.
And so then you ask yourself, what's driving it? Am I like challenged with this choice about whether to move or not, leave a job or not, stay in a relationship or not, all of those types of scenarios? And then if your answer is yes to any of them, then you go on to the next one. And if the answer is no, then you really probably shouldn't have, you know, the right. answer to the first one should have been yes.
Exactly.
But now I'm being all confusing. So
that's the topic of the show.
Woo! Okay, so one, head, heart, and gut. Do they line up?
Right.
If they don't, where do you feel trapped physically, mentally, emotionally? Where is your area being stuck? Then this is the hardest question to answer for most people. I can certainly say for myself, and that is, okay, so what is the reward in it for you? And that is a hard one to hear, because there's usually a payoff. And if you ever watch any Dr. Phil, he'll say it over and over again. What's your payoff in this situation? What's your payoff in this situation? And usually it is because you want to be accepted, you have fear, you want financial gain, you're risk averse. I mean,
there's a lot of reward though that's unrecognized until after you get to that point though. There's going to be rewards, there possible rewards that you're going to see that you didn't even realize.
Oh, in fact, way more. Like, you couldn't write the script for what could be ahead if you pay attention to your heart, your head, and your gut.
Right.
I mean, like, the possibilities are endless kind of results. But when you're in that moment, you don't necessarily see it, because you're experiencing some level of a payoff, whatever it is. And when you can identify whatever that payoff is, then that is the key to the freedom that unlocks the door. And you leave it behind and you walk out the door. And then, like you're saying, like, amazing things open up as a result of just taking one step forward.
Okay. So would you say that our listeners are less confused than when we started the show? I would say so.
I don't know, because we talked about a lot of things in several different circles, but hope we got it through.
I feel confident that everybody's clear. Now you're the one that's confused as to whether everybody's clear.
No, I feel really good about it, because obviously this topic I'm pretty passionate about, because it's been a roadblock for me several times, and I'm basically have this process that I use, and I know how to do that for myself now. It's almost like a reflex. And if you can try it and it works for you and keep trying, it'll get easier and easier, easier and easier each time.
Yeah.
So, I'm not confused about how to make a decision now at all.
Hey, before we close things out, I just want to say how excited I am to see the success of this whole project of yours. The listenership, I've been looking at some of the metrics. I've been looking at some of the numbers, and the listenership of the radio show is increasing every day. And for those of you who subscribe to the show now, please keep spreading the word. Share it on your social media, Twitter, Facebook. Send them links to the website, journeytothere.com, and your friends, your associates. Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba, and we look forward to you joining us for the next episode.
Yay!
We hope you've enjoyed today's journey, and we invite you to visit journeytothere.com to download full episodes, find show notes, and connect with us by signing up for our newsletter. We want to hear from you. Give us feedback or ask any questions by clicking or tapping Contact Us. That's journeytothere.com.